Morning again. Welcome to City Line Church. If we haven't yet met, my name is Pastor Ryan. So glad to be with you this morning. If you're just joining us, we are right in the middle of a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, maybe the most famous sermon in all of human history. And Jesus has begun his public ministry and started to call people to himself. And he stopped here towards the beginning of Matthew and given his longest sermon recorded for us in scripture. It runs from Matthew chapter 5 all the way through Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus is interested in what kind of people his followers are going to become. He's interested in the kingdom of God, and if we are going to follow Jesus and be a part of his kingdom, what are we as his kingdom people supposed to be like under his gracious reign and rule? Jesus turns now at the beginning of chapter 7 to talk about an all too common problem with us humans, being judgmental of other people. So as we come to Jesus' challenging and even prophetic words this morning, let's turn to the Lord in prayer and ask for his help one more time as we come to his word this morning. Let's pray. Almighty everlasting God, and you are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, we come once again asking for a work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would take these words from scripture and illuminate them for us. Help us to know how to put them into practice in our lives so that we might follow in the ways of Jesus and his kingdom. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. Christians are so judgmental. I'm guessing maybe you've heard that before, or at least some variation on that. I've even heard somebody once tell me, who I was reaching out to with the gospel, doesn't the Bible say, thou shalt not judge? And they were kind of mixing up a couple of verses there together, putting a prohibition to judge in the Ten Commandments. They're kind of mixing a couple things there. But if I'm being honest, there have definitely been times in my own life where I've been pretty judgy. In high school, it's probably the time when I was at my most judgy, especially towards people who were claiming to be Christians, but who didn't live in the way that I wanted them to live with their Christianity. So who was out there drinking beer at parties, right? Who was smoking cigarettes? Who was going to rated R movies? Who was fooling around with their boyfriend or girlfriend? They can't really be a Christian if they're doing that stuff, right? If you've been a Christian for a while, I'm pretty sure at some point in your walk with Jesus, you've also struggled with judging others. When we get older, the things that we get judgmental about probably just shift a little bit. Who's letting their kids do what? Who is spending their time on what? What frivolous activity are they wasting their time on? I can't believe that church over there is doing that in their worship service. Or maybe some of you are like me, and you were deeply disappointed and even angry at some of President Trump's actions and executive orders this first week in office. I was deeply frustrated with some of the executive orders, especially the one on immigration, protecting the American people against invasion, or his removal of protected statuses of places of worship as places of sanctuary. It goes against a long-standing tradition here in the United States, or the mass pardoning of the January 6th insurrectionists. All of these things were frustrating to me. I'm not going to bring up everything that President Trump does over the next 4 years. I don't think that's worth the time of our service here together. But I was definitely thinking about it this week as I was preparing a sermon about not judging others. Why? Because I felt my own soul very much judging others, especially professing Christians who don't at least have some serious reservations about some of President Trump's policies. But aren't there times when we do need to judge? Where we need to make judgments about other people and challenge their unjust behaviors and their errant beliefs? We'll get into all that in this passage as we move forward and think about this passage from Jesus a little bit more. And it's a difficult thing that Jesus is challenging us with here. He's challenging us as his followers to look inward at our own internal motivations, at our own judgmental attitudes. What he's been doing throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, wanting his followers to look inward before we look outward. This instinct to look around at the lives and beliefs of others so that we can feel good about ourselves is just so common amongst us humans. Well, at least I'm not as bad or immature or wrong-headed as that person. This, of course, happens among all kinds of people, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you believe in God or whether you're an atheist. We all like to feel morally superior to somebody else. In our passage this morning, Jesus is aiming directly at that instinct, that desire to look around at the lives of others so that we can feel morally superior. The fundamental question that Jesus is driving at is this: how should we treat our brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God when we disagree, when we think they're in error? Jesus gives some real practical advice here. He begins by saying, don't judge, don't be a judge. Then he moves on to say, don't be a hypocrite. And then finally, treat one another as brothers and sisters. So that's how I'll outline the rest of our time together this morning. Don't be a judge, don't be a hypocrite, and finally, instead be a brother or sister. So let's begin with that first point. Don't be a judge. This is in the first couple of verses of chapter 7 where Jesus says, do not be a judge or you too will be judged. Now Jesus is not saying that we should put aside our reason, our thinking capabilities, or that we should turn a blind eye towards destructive, sinful lifestyles that are going on in the church or injustices in the world around us. But he is saying that we shouldn't be harsh judges, that we shouldn't be critical fault finders in our own souls, that we shouldn't be on the prowl, always looking around for other people's shortcomings. I'm always fascinated when we go down the shore. Occasionally you'll see a beachcomber, right? And they're out there looking for junk in the sand. And I always wonder, like, what are you really finding out there in the sand? Apparently they're finding some good things, but you know what I'm talking about, right? The people, they have these big metal detectors, they're going up and down the beach with their headphones, and they're looking in every nook and cranny for people's junk. This is the sort of image that I get when I read Jesus here, when I think about what he's describing. Religious and self-righteous people combing out over everybody else's stuff, looking for their junk. Who out there is messing up? Harsh, critical spec seekers who are ungenerous towards other people's shortcomings. People who like to imagine the worst possible motives for every action a person takes or every belief that someone might hold. When they see someone behaving poorly, making bad decisions, it's never, wow, they must be going through some kind of hard time. There must be something deeper going on. I wonder if I could find a way to come alongside them to help them. Instead, spec seekers believe that that one bad moment defines who that person is from now on. They assume that the motives behind the harsh word or the defensive posture were always filled with the worst intentions. See, when Jesus says, don't be a judge, or you too will be judged, he's simply pointing to a general human tendency to see the faults of our neighbors while blithely looking over our own. I was trying to think of some of the traps that spec seekers fall into. The first one that comes to mind is just gossiping. Typically, your overly critical spec seekers are also going to be the kind of people who love to talk about other people's shortcomings behind their backs. They don't want to be upfront with the person who they're having a disagreement with or a concern about. 9 times out of 10, not only is a gossiper a spec seeker, they're also almost always the most insecure person in the room, dealing with some of their own stuff. I'm always surprised how often and how harshly gossiping is confronted in the Bible. From Psalms to Proverbs to James to 1 Timothy, gossiping is never tolerated in the church. In Romans 1, Paul lists gossiping right along sins like murder and greed, depravity, wickedness, and God-hating. Gossiping falls right along with those. So we must avoid the twin sins of gossiping and spec-seeking in others. Another trap for spec-seekers is those who are doctrinally critical. That's the kind of person that's always on the hunt for heresy. I don't know if that's really a huge problem here at City Line. In some other churches that I've been a part of, it's definitely been a part of the culture. Searching for a false doctrine in every prayer, every side conversation. Orthodox doctrine is extremely important in the church. It would be wrong to say otherwise, but it's also wrong to be on the prowl. When very likely the person in question who you're wondering about their orthodoxy maybe just misspoke or didn't know any better. And when someone is in theological error, the right posture, the right thing to do is to have a humble, quiet, behind-the-scenes conversation, pointing them to Scripture. That's probably what's needed more than public outcries of heresy. Then there are the cultural